Well, our scripture reading this evening comes from Genesis chapter 45. We'll read a few verses there, and then we'll jump to Lord's Day 10. And Lord's Day 10 is found on page 17 in the back of the blue. So Genesis 45. And we'll be reading verses. I have written 4 through 8, but let's start at the beginning of the chapter. So we'll read verses 1 through 8. People of God, this is God's very word. Genesis 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." And there ends the reading of God's word. We'll pick up Lord's Day 10. And I'll read the question, if you could answer back with the answer. Question 27. What do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future, have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from his love. All creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. Keep that open right here. I feel like I'm losing my voice a little bit. So Lord's Day 10. We're still in that first article of the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in God the Father Almighty." And we get an echo in our answer about this Almighty God, right? This, his ever-present power. Because we come to the providence of God. That's a hard subject, isn't it? The providence of God. If you remember last week, we saw that it was hinted at in question 26. In the middle of answer 26, it reads this: "Who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence." Remember, last week I made a big deal out of that. I made a big deal about when you say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty." What did that mean to you? Is it just words that we say week after week, or is there meaning behind it? Do we understand what it means? See, but as Christians, we know better, don't we, who God is. We know that God not only has creation in the palms of his hands, but our God is sovereign over everything. All things, including people's lives. And I want to show us that with Scripture tonight. And a story we all know well. So I wanted to go to a story of someone who had everything start to just fall apart in their lives. Literally, the wheels were going off in every direction. But God was in control the whole time. And I want us to see that when that happens in our lives, do we stop and think, oh, bother, why is this happening to me? Or we think, okay, Lord, I know you're sovereign. Everything happens because of a reason. What is that reason? There's a couple of places in Scripture we could have went. We could have went to Job. We all know Job's story. But I wanted to go to Joseph. I wanted to go to someone who was young, who got put in a situation that he had no idea what was going to happen next. And yet over and over again in the text, it said that God was with him. And we saw how God led him. God had it all planned for good. All the terrible things in Joseph's life, for good. And when you go through those terrible things, you can't see good, can you? Joseph did not see good. But God planned it. See, we don't use that word providence much anymore, do we? How often do you think, oh yeah, that's just God's providence? You might be thinking, well, what is it? What is providence? Well, providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which he upholds as with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures. I love that. And so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things. That's what the writer of the catechism is trying to get at. All things God upholds. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Remember last week we talked about the deist. The deist believes in a God. There's a creator out there. But he doesn't stick around. He walks away after creation. He's that great watchmaker in the sky, makes this nice watch, winds it up, sets it down, and says, okay, that's not our God. Right? Our God still upholds. Our God still rules. Sometimes it doesn't look like it. What are we to make of that? I want us to start looking at a couple words this evening. That first word is upholds. It's beautiful how pastoral the catechism is here. God still upholds this, as it were, by his hand. And don't we teach that to our little kids? Don't we teach that to our kids? We've all heard this. Boys and girls, you've heard this song. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. I'm seeing a lot of blank faces. You guys have never heard that song? No, you have. Come on. No, but that's how loving is that? Your kids know, and they believe it. Your kids don't have to think, well, does he really? God doesn't really have hands, does he? No, your kids hear that song, and they hear that word, and they go, yeah. They don't have a shadow of the doubt that God holds the world in his hand. Right? The littlest covenant kids, they could sing that song and believe it 100%. All of creation, all of it, God holds. And now you look up at the stars. Those things are billions of miles away. These stars are so far away that they can't measure them in miles. They have to measure them in light years. So this week, when I was preparing the sermon, I stopped. And I thought, how far are these stars away? And I started looking it up. And I looked up. I didn't know this. Most of you might have. So light, you know how fast light travels? It travels 186,282 miles per second. Pretty fast. And it's, the sun is 93 million miles from Earth. So the calculations is it takes light 8 minutes to get from the sun to the Earth. The closest star to us, it takes light 4.3 light years. Not minutes, years. But guess what? God upholds that. The universe is so vast, our minds can't comprehend it. Yet God is in complete control of every star, every rock, every piece of dust, every comet in his hand. They're not out of his reach. Think of the waves and how powerful the ocean is. God's in charge of them. All right. Do you know how much water is in the ocean? I looked this one up too this week. They don't measure water in the ocean by gallons. I typed, how many gallons of water are in the ocean? It didn't give me an answer. It said this. It says there's 321 million cubic miles of water in our oceans. Cubic miles, what? 321 million cubic miles. Guess what? God upholds every single one. He's in control of all of it. These numbers are like so big. There's so many zeros behind it. Our brain doesn't can't even think of it. Our God's bigger. And you might be thinking, well, how does he do it? How does God uphold all things? The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1. He says, Jesus is the answer. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Or we can read it this way. In him all things hold together. Think about that. The Son of God holds all things together. Jesus Christ, when he was a newborn baby, in his mother's arms. You couldn't imagine. That child held the universe together. The God-man. God uses his son to uphold. And not only does he uphold, Heidelberg tells us that he rules. The answer, the end of the answer 27. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. As I was preparing for this, I didn't want to go too light on providence. Because when bad things happen, you want to... It's deep. So it hurts. We have questions. Why, God? Why? So I didn't want to go too light here. So I found an answer from Belgic Confession, number 13, Article 13. It deals with providence. The providence of God and his government of all things. And it starts off with this. We believe. We believe that the same good God, after he had created all things, did not forsake them or give them up to fortune or chance, but that he rules and governs them according to his holy will, so that nothing happens in this world without his appointment. Nevertheless, God neither is the author of nor can be charged with the sin which are committed. For his power and goodness are so great and incomprehensible that he orders and executes his work in the most excellent and just manner, even when devils and wicked men act unjustly. Providence. So what we can see clearly here is that nothing happens by chance. Chances make believe. When you start talking about chance, you're talking fairy tale stuff. Not real. People will say, oh, it was by chance that there was this rock in space and then life happened and then here we are. Come on, really? It takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe Christianity. Everything happens for a reason. And God is either the first cause of that or he sets in motion the second cause. But nothing happens by chance. And this leads us to the second thing I wanted to talk about this evening. I wanted to show us this happening in someone's life. I wanted to make it real. Because we could talk about providence all we want. But until we see it in someone's life, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Joseph. Joseph's life. There had to have been times when he doubted God and his goodness. I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to say the same thing happens in our lives. There's times when we doubt God and his goodness. There are. When we start to doubt that God upholds, that God rules. Why did God do this? Think of Joseph. Scholars think he was 17 years old. His brothers throw him in a pit. And you think, 17-year-old young man, he probably fought with his brothers before he got thrown into that pit. So he's sitting in this pit, and he's hearing his brothers eat. They're laughing. They're joking. They're like, should we kill him or should we sell him? This 17-year-old boy sitting in a pit thinking, oh, my goodness, how did I get myself into this mess? His brothers see a caravan of Ishmaelites coming. They think, we'll just sell him. We'll get rid of him. Now, boys and girls, don't ever do that with your sibling. Not a good idea. Bad. Don't sell your brother or sister. So off Joseph went. Egypt, a country he had never been. All by himself, afraid. Thinking about, can't understanding people talk. He's by himself. They don't even speak the same language. They put food in front of him he's probably never seen. But did God not know what was going to happen? Of course he did. When things happen in our lives that are out of our control, do you not think that God knows what's going on? Of course he does. See, God is in control of everything. One pastor put it, everything that we encounter in this life, good or bad, life-giving or life-taking, does not happen by chance, but by God our Father. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Maybe some of us have seen disease destroy a loved one. Or had a loved one die. People get sick. People lose their jobs, don't know how they're going to feed their kids. See, being poor is not fun. I know, I was there. But God is always in control. He has the whole world in the palm of his hand. Think about this. When the Heidelberg Catechism was written in 1563, how do you think they lived? This is what could have happened then. The plague could have rolled into town or in the city, the village, the county. It could have killed 90% of that village. 9 out of 10 people. Because it happened all the time around them. All over Europe, the plague would come through a town. 90% of some villages wiped out. Remember, all of Europe is Christian at this time. They all loved the Lord. There was nothing they could do about it. When the plague would come into town, they had to think, we're all going to die. Or in the 1500s, if drought happened, they would starve. The crops couldn't grow. You would see whole villages get up and migrate to find food. Think about it. Think of looking at a whole town just getting up and walking for food. Floods, hunger, plagues. See, these things are rare in our life. But they happen. But that was everyday life in the 1500s. And they were all Christian. They all loved the Lord. How many times did they cry out, Lord, why is this happening? And yet they can still write confessions that we confess. Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which he upholds as with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. They could write that. They could believe it. They could hold to it. See, we could all say when a good thing happens, our God's great. Man, our God is awesome. He's taking care of us. We got it made. When it rains, we got food. When we have health, we're happy. When we have riches, we couldn't think it could go any other way. And then a snap of the finger, life can be crazy. You can get the phone call from a doctor, or the police would come knocking on your door. Beloved, do we have faith in a God who's in charge of both things in your life, or just the good? That's the question this evening. See, things don't just happen by chance or by fate. That's what pagans believe. We're not pagans. No. We have an almighty God who holds everything in his hands. And we have to hold on to that when the wheels go flying off in life. We have to. The world is watching us. Do you truly believe that God loves you? And this leads us right into the second question. How does this knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? That we may be patient when things go against us. Thankful when things go well. And for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from his love. Nothing will separate us from his love. All creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move or be moved. Now let's jump back into Joseph's life. Everything's going great. Joseph's got a good job. He's living in Potiphar's house. He's running the show. What happens? Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph. Joseph, like a good, upright, standing man, runs out of that house. So what do you think is going to happen? He should be blessed. No. Goes to prison. Joseph back in the pit. Do you think at that moment Joseph's in the pit again? Do you think he's patient when things were against him? Do you think he's sitting there? Okay, God's in control. Or do you think, like I would have, screamed out in frustration, God, not again. I was doing so good. Things were going so great. If we look back at that answer 28, the last half, do we believe this? For the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from his love. In the text of Joseph's life, over and over again, it says this, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord showed him steadfast love. See, Joseph couldn't see it, but the Lord was always there. Over and over again, the writer of the text, Moses, wants us to know that God never left Joseph. Even when things went horribly wrong, God was there. His steadfast love. That's his covenant love he has for his people with Joseph. See, those are the things we need to hold on to when we just want to scream, why? That's why I wanted to show you it in real life. Joseph, it really happened. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No, God sends those things into our lives. That doesn't mean he doesn't love us. That doesn't mean he's not walking with us. Remember what I said a couple weeks ago, how secure you were? Remember how secure you were? Remember, Jesus has us in one hand and the Father has us in another, and we're so secure we can't even be pulled out of this. Remember, Paul was so convinced that nothing could separate him from the love of God. So the question tonight is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? See, I know it's hard. And I could look back on my life and see the hard times. And I didn't believe it. But he was there every step of the way. I think this is probably top three hardest things to believe on this side of glory. Hardest. When everything falls apart, to stop and think, okay, Lord, I know you're still here. I don't know why this happened, but I know you love me. I know your love will never be separated from me. See, our God is faithful to his promises. So going back to Joseph's life again. Joseph's life, he's in the pit, right, in the prison. And by chance, right, Pharaoh just happens to throw two people in prison with him. And by chance, they have this dream. And by chance, Joseph, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can interpret this dream. Now, isn't chance great? No, it's not chance, is it? You really think that could have all happened by chance? God was placing the pieces all together. See, God upholds and rules. And did Joseph get out of prison right away? No. Read the text. He was in prison for another 2 years. He interprets the dreams. And they say, okay, I'll let Pharaoh know. 2 years goes by, sitting in the pit. The cupbearer forgets about Joseph. Again, patient in adversity. Did Joseph have it? We don't know. But when it was time, when it was God's time, what happens? Joseph is made ruler of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at that time. God's at work in our lives, even though it doesn't seem like it, even though it hurts. God's providence in Joseph's life again. There's this old rich shepherd living a couple weeks' journey away, and the famine is so bad they have to come get bread. Joseph's brothers and his dad. Genesis 45, love it. Please come near to me, Joseph says. So they come near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. And then you go down to verse 8. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. You're like, wait a second. That's providence. And he made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house. ruler through all the land of Egypt. See, God upholds and rules. Later in chapter 50, Joseph has to remind his brothers because they still fear. He says, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." See, God rules. God upholds. The Apostle Paul tells us in Thessalonians, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Yeah, when I was going through this, I didn't finish Belgic Confession 13. I thought we would leave tonight with Belgic Confession 13 in our ears. This is how it ends. "This doctrine, this teaching, affords us unspeakable consolation, since we are taught thereby that nothing can befall us by chance, but by the direction of our most gracious and heavenly Father, who watches over us with a paternal care, keeping all creatures so under his power that not a hair of our head, for they are all numbered, nor a sparrow can fall to the ground without the will of our Father, in whom we do entirely trust, being persuaded that he so restrains the devil and all our enemies that without his will and permission, they can't even hurt us." Do you believe that? I hope you do. See, providence is a tough, tough teaching. Hold on to the promise that God has the whole world in his hands. Let's pray. Father God, Almighty God, you do rule and sustain. You do uphold all things. Lord, and there's so many things happening around us, and certain things happen in our lives, and we shout and scream, "Why? Why?" Help us to remember that even during those times, you never leave us, you never forsake us. We may never know the real answer of why until we see you in glory. But help us to remember that you're there. Help us to remember that when we're in the pit, you haven't left. Your steadfast love is upon us. Lord, this is tough. But you are good. You are faithful. And all your promises are yes and amen. What a good thing to know. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.